I wouldn't sell my bike for all the money in the world. Not for $100 billion, $1 trillion.
Then you're crazy.
I know you are, but what am I?
You're a nerd.
I know you are, but what am I?
You're an idiot.
I know you are, but what am I?
I know you are, but what am I? I know you are, but what am I?
I know you are, but what am I? I know you are, but what am I?
I know you are, but what am I? Infinity.
No, I'm not. You are. No
way.
Knock it off.
Cut it out.
Oh, shut up, Pee-wee.
Why don't you make me?
Why don't you make me?
Because I don't make monkeys. I just train them.
Shut up and
breathe more popcorn.
Shut up and
breathe more popcorn.
Waka waka, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Shut Up and Refill My Popcorn. This time, I'm going to get into 1988's Big Top Pee-wee after a word from this sponsor.
Pee-wee, baby, it's Pee and Jimbo from Jimbo's Bar and Kicker Grill. Well, we closed down, guys. I'm sorry to say that. We shut the shit down. Only to reopen as Jimbo's Bar and Super Tiki Grill, motherfucker. That's right. We had to close down, remodel, take some vaccines, then reopen with some big screen TVs and lots of bottled beer. That's right, y'all. Jimbo's Bar and Super Tiki Grill will let you drink wherever the fuck you want to drink. Just don't come after us when y'all get fucking pulled over DWI, motherfuckers. We ain't responsible for your drunk ass. So bring your dreamless check having ass to Jimbo's Barn Super Tiki Grill. We got all the food from the left. We even got super wings. You know what the fuck super wings are? Well, get your big ass down here and try some. You'll love it. We still in the same place though.
Welcome back, guys. Like I said in the intro, we're going to get into 1988's Big Top Pee-wee. Now, from my understanding, there have been three feature films or specials, well, basically two films, one special, or I guess the one on Netflix is a film. Anyways, Pee-wee Herman, character brought to life by actor Paul Reubens, who sadly lost his battle with cancer the beginning of this month. One of the reasons why I wanted to cover this movie. I had no clue that this movie even existed. All I remember growing up was that Pee-wee's Playhouse, the Saturday morning variety show or children's show on CBS, and Pee-wee's Big Adventure. That's all I knew. And then later on that he was a cochino and I wasn't allowed to watch anything of his ever again. I mean, obviously I have, but... that was the stigma of the whole, I think it was like 91 incident. But I didn't even know that this film even existed till years later. Just watched it for the first time off the top of my head. If you know anything about the Pee-wee Herman character and the silliness, like I'm obviously, so he passed away. So everything you're going to see on social media is going to be posts from people or stuff coming back to light, like his appearances on the I was going to say David Letterman show. I think it was the Tonight Show. Or it was David Letterman, because it was David Letterman hosting the Late Show, Late Night Show, whatever. His stand-up routines. So growing up, I did watch a lot of Cheech and Chong movies, and I always popped whenever Paul Reubens shows up as the hotel clerk, and then later his Pee-wee Herman's persona in Cheech and Chong's next movie. I always found that like kind of peculiar, kind of weird, you know, because I wasn't connecting the dots. I'm just like, holy shit, that's Pee-wee Herman, what the fuck? So Paul Reubens, Pee-wee Herman's character was developed as his stand-up act, I think. And I'm just paraphrasing, assuming, whatever. I haven't fact-checked nothing. I'm just going off of what I'm seeing because, like I said, everything is, you know, being reintroduced. And, I mean, obviously people on TikTok are going to, you know, put out clips of his Tonight Show, Late Night Show, whatever, appearances and stand-up acts or whatever. Discovering that, you know, he did this film in 1988, which kind of is like 2 years into the Pee-wee's Playhouse run, and just kind of gauging which film is, I mean, obviously they don't really connect the dots. Like, there's nothing in this movie that's like, okay, hey, this is what happened after the first movie. And I'm assuming the Netflix, I don't even know if it's a film. I know it's on Netflix, and it's the one where I think he did in 2016. Not too sure. But those two films actually have pretty good Rotten Tomato scores. And sadly, Big Top Pee-wee does not. I have it right here in front of me. I think the score is at a 38% on the Tomato Critic side, and then the audience gives it a 30% score. And looking at some of these audience reviews, I see a lot of comments basically saying there's nobody from the TV show in this film. What does that have? I mean, I kind of get it, because I mean, Pee-wee's Playhouse ran from 86 to 1990, so 3 or 4 seasons. And I mean, if okay, so we're introduced to this character, or the mass audience is introduced to this character, and you know, one of the most famous, probably funniest Pee-wee Herman movies, Pee-wee's Big Adventure, and you know, the Saturday morning show is, I think, it's a play on his Pee-wee Herman show that he did at the Roxy. I kind of want to see clips of that. I kind of want to dive into this Pee-wee Herman rabbit hole, but not all the way into the rabbit hole, if you get my drift. I'm not trying to see what, you know, porno movie he was watching that fateful night, but, you know, seeing the clips on TikTok and seeing other stuff that, you know, it's like it's fucking mind blowing to see how wide blown in a way that this character has become. You know, you get the Tim Burton movie, you know, you have this Roxy show that turns into the Saturday morning show for kids, sort of. And then, you know, you get this film kind of like 2 years later in this whole. And so you kind of understand why people are upset that there's no, you know, Jeannie Jumba and no, you know, characters from the TV show. But and then there's no connection to the first film. And I'm assuming the latest one isn't connected to either of them. But it's almost like almost like a Bond film in a way, because, you know, like most Bond films, I guess you say most, but they're not all connected. They're all one story with one character. Maybe there's some connection between some films. I mean, but technically it's just one character in his adventure. So, you know, he had his big adventure looking for the bike and all that shit. And then this one, you know, even though I've been talking about 7-8 minutes, haven't really gotten into the story, but it has to do with Pee-wee and a circus. Now, the movie starts off pretty, I mean, a typical Pee-wee Herman zany way. He has a farm. No, and it's not explained how he got the farm or what, you know, but he has a farm, his farm animals and his garden and his greenhouse, which is tops, was like his experimental area and where he dives into horticulture. But the zaniness of this film is just, you got Pee-wee with a talking pig, and all his barn animals have beds, and he literally goes and picks carrots from the garden, milks the cow, you know, maybe gets the eggs from the chickens, and he puts it all in a wheelbarrow and mixes it up and makes pancakes, makes breakfast for these barnyard animals. We see he has a fiance in this film, which is kind of okay. I mean, the first film he had sort of a, I wouldn't say a girlfriend, but he could, you know, it was the Dottie character. But it was somebody almost like a love interest sort of deal. But he was more in love with his bicycle than he was with females, or the female character in the movie. This one, he just all out has a fiance by the name of Winnie, who's a school teacher, and I'm seeing some comments here on the Rotten Tomatoes. Apparently, they said that it's set in the 40s, but I don't get that feeling that it's set in a certain time. I think it's just, you know, he's in a small town where the town people are kind of like, the town people are dicks in this film. Let's be real. You got all these old motherfuckers, and I say all these, it's like four, if you count the sheriff, antagonists of the film, I guess would be the best way to describe them, because they see Pee-wee coming around and they kind of just like, look at this motherfucker. What the fuck's he all happy about? And I think the shopkeeper, Mr. Ryan, was perfect in getting upset because Pee-wee goes in there to get a cheese sandwich to get lunch. And there's the two elderly women that are there before him. And since they were there before him, it's first come, first serve. Pee-wee's like, okay, fine, I'll wait. He's chilling. These old bitches are talking, they're getting some sort of fabric or something, and they're discussing it with Mr. Ryan. Pee-wee loses his shit in a way, not crazy, but just like, I'm hungry, here. And so the shopkeeper gets mad and is like, fine, let me stop what I'm doing. Let me just serve. I'm only here to serve you, Pee-wee. Lord forbid nobody, that poor Pee-wee Herman doesn't get a sandwich and this and that. And then he's kind of like, well, thank you. Like, kind of, you see a kind of little bit of an arrogance in that scene. But, I mean, Pee-wee Herman is this childlike character, childlike adult character. So he has his fiance, and he does this, you know, has this little childish spat at the general store. And lo and behold, the sheriff comes in and tells her, y'all better get home quick because there's a storm coming, and it's going to be a big one and this and that. So Pee-wee hauls ass home, trying to get her. First of all, he tries to get a ride. Nobody wants to give him her. They're like, nah, fuck you. So he goes home. Gets all the barnyard shutters up his house and the greenhouse, has all the animals go down into the storm cellar. And then when the storm passes, he gets out, and lo and behold, a fucking circus has literally blown into town. And I'm talking about a literal fucking blown circus. Their trucks and trailers, their stuff is tipped over and broken, and they got lions and animals, elephants escape from their cages. And we meet Chris Christopherson's character by the name of Mace Montana. I kind of feel this dude was more like an Indiana Jones kind of parody, because he had the fedora, he had, you know, the jacket, he looked like Indiana fucking Jones. It's Mace Montana is his name. He's owner, runs the Kalabani Circus or something. You know, you got the bearded lady, you got the little person, there's a mermaid, there's the clown, there's a person by the name of Duke the Dogface, which is ironically played by Benicio del Toro. Then we get the trapeze artist, Gina, I can't say her last, Piccola Poop, anyway, this is another Pee-wee. This is another love interest for Pee-wee, because when he runs into her, he is like love at first sight, smitten with her, and you kind of see it in her too. But it's obvious, like, he can't talk, he faints, and all this ruckus of these circus people, they have a little intimate time, because I think she likes him, and obviously he likes her, and Winnie, so he forgets to go, because Winnie and her Pee-wee have a freaking lunch date every, you know, every day. He kind of forgot, so she's like, I'm gonna go take him an egg sandwich, because apparently she likes egg salad sandwiches, he doesn't. She takes him a sandwich, and she catches him kissing Gina. Gina slaps the shit out of Pee-wee because she can't believe that he didn't tell her that he was involved with somebody. And so both these bitches don't like this motherfucker. Gina doesn't talk to Pee-wee. It's just like giving him the cold shoulder. Winnie's over there scratching out their name from the tree that it's carved in. Next thing you know, Winnie decides to start dating Gina's brothers, which is four other trapeze artists. So subliminally, Winnie's a hoe. Winnie is a straight up hoe. She's taking four dicks rather than Pee-wee's little big top adventure. So and she's fine with it. She'd rather date these four brothers, and these four motherfuckers, they got no problem running a train on this bitch or sharing one chick. And so that was funny to me in a way, because I don't know if it was supposed to make it like she's literally dating four dudes. Like, she said, fuck it, I'm gonna take this Italian sausage and quadruple my fucking investment in it. I don't fucking know. And then the whole thing with Mace is married to to Midge Montana, who's a literal like Tinkerbell sized woman. That's a whole nother weird fucking relationship. You know what I mean? Like, come on, man. Like, what do you do? Beating off and busting a nut on her face and, like, drowning her or something? Like, how the fuck? Because they kind of have a little, like, thing where it's not all like, oh, hey, yeah, we're intimate. No, but, like, hey, I love you, sugar plum, and this and that. They love each other. But it's, like, anatomically really fucked up. You know what I mean? So, I mean, unless he got magnifying glass and she does somewhere, like, I don't fucking know. So that's the whole thing. So Winnie moves on, and Pee-wee basically warms Gina back up. Like, she hates him, and he just told us, he's like, you know, when I was with you, I didn't even think about Winnie, and I love you. Like, he basically tells her that he loves her, and then runs off and, like, he get, like, all giddy and shit, and fucking, and then so she went from hating this motherfucker to hearing that he said he loves her, and then next thing you know, she's smiling, like, oh, and so she gives him a chance, and, like, he's trying to get an act together he wants to join the circus, but he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know, or a fucking trapeze artist, or, you know, anything to do with the circus. He's trying to find his niche. Gina slowly, you know, starts, you know, like I said, warming back up to him and thinking, you know, that she likes him and stuff, or she loves him. To the point where I think she gives him, like, her father's trapeze attire or costume. And then they knock boots. And there is no subtle way. Like, the next scene, you see them kissing. And Pee-wee's kind of a horn dog in this fucking movie. Like, when he goes on his date with Winnie, like, he touches her hair, or he starts kissing her, and he jumps on top of her. Like, literally, like, gets on top of her. Oh, stop, Pee-wee. Same thing here. He starts making out with Gina that first time. and like starts playing with her hair. He has got a weird fascination with hair, but and so, you know, this go around, you know, the next scene is a fucking train going through a tunnel, fireworks popping, lava, and like, it's, you know, it's no secret that they bumped uglies, because the next thing you know, Pee-wee goes to the next morning into his little greenhouse laboratory, and the pig, Vance the pig, is like, hey, you had a, so you're in a chipper mood, you're in pretty good mood, and Pee-wee's like, ah, life is just awesome, I got to touch boobies. So the next thing is the townsfolk. So when the circus came into town and that Pee-wee started, you know, helping them get ready for their show, because they were going to set up in town, the townspeople literally said, get the fuck out of here. We don't want nothing to do with you crazy motherfuckers. Get out of our town. You would have thought, you know, these uppity assholes were like the KKK or something. Like, they, the whole townspeople were hating on the fucking circus freaks. You know, because they basically tell them, you know, get out of our town. We don't want you setting up here. And then, you know, they're settled in. They're taking some time off and they're chilling at Pee-wee's farm. Then they go into town to get supplies and have lunch. And they get the worst fucking third degree. Like, the shopkeeper's like, we're closed. Like, they go in there looking for supplies, like apples. Or, no, like soup and oatmeal. Obviously, there's the stuff there behind the shopkeeper. And he's telling them he doesn't have any of that stuff. That he's actually closed. They're out there, you know, pissed off. And see, this is right before Winnie finds out. Winnie catches Pee-wee kissing another girl. Because, you know, that whole, oh, I'm going to go get Pee-wee Herman a sandwich and this and that. So she sees these people, she helps them out, you know, she basically goes and buys their supplies for them, and then they give her a ride to Pee-wee's farm. But like, the whole townspeople just, you know, they're just haters, man. They're fucking, they don't like Pee-wee, but for whatever reason, they're just grumpy old fucking assholes. So Pee-wee does this whole secret horticulture, like he's doing, you know, he's making oversized melons. He has this fucking weird hot dog tree, and so after he bumps uglies, he makes some sort of concoction, and when he, like, all these, I guess we'd say watering formulas, and he goes to water the plants, and he starts off with the hot dog tree, and something happens, the fucking hot dog, you know, whatever long a hot dog is, they start to shrink almost into like cocktail weenies. And you know, so this whole time that the people, the circus people were there, they Mace realized, I know exactly the type of show or the theme for our next show, and it's going to be Farmers of America, and it's, you know, the whole theme for the next Big Top show. And so they're working on this whole, you know, routines with incorporating like farm equipment and having, you know, looking like Farmer John and stuff, like the attire and whatnot. And so even Winnie gets in on the act, because now she's involved with those four brothers, and she's helping them with their act. And her and Pee-wee come to terms that, you know, okay, yeah, you know, we can be friends, and oh, I'm so happy for you, and oh, I'm happy for you too, blah, blah, blah. And then, so the townspeople realize that, so they got this show ready, and they start putting up posters in town. Well, then these hating motherfuckers ripped the posters down, these two old bitches, before they even went and snuck behind to kind of peep on what they were doing at Pee-wee's deal. And so they're hating them, and the old bitches are telling the sheriff, you need to stop this, sheriff. This is crazy. You're too happy, or whatever the fuck. So they come marching with pitchforks and fire torches to arrest Pee-wee. And so that kind of like it bursts everybody's bubble. Fucking Mace is like, well, we're not going to do the show then. We don't want Pee-wee to be arrested, and so we'll just leave, and and this and that. So Pee-wee then takes those cocktail weenies, and I don't know if he even knew that what would happen, other than the fact that, well, if they turned long hot dogs into little hot dogs, maybe, you know, maybe there's something there. So he takes these cocktail weenies to the townsfolk and kind of, you know, tail tuck between his legs and be like, you know, y'all are right. I need to be more like y'all. Here, have some cocktail weenies. And the fucking townspeople are like, yeah, fuck it, yeah, give me. They got the little toothpicks in there. Well, they eat the cocktail weenies and they all turn into fucking kids. They all fucking go back in time to when they were, they're all kids. They turn, you know, they're fucking hands of time. And one of the townspeople, when he turned into a kid, the actor that played him was fucking Screech, Dustin Diamond from fucking Saved by the Bell. I popped when I saw that shit. I was like, oh shit, that's fucking Screech. And so now they're kids and they're all, you know, they don't remember. I guess they don't remember. They have a childlike mind again, and they don't have no memory of, you know, them being grumpy old pieces of shit. And Pee-wee tells them, well, time to start the show, or time to, you know, do this, go to the circus, go back to the circus. And the kid's like, circus? We love the circus. You want to come? And they're fucking, yeah, let's go. And so next thing you know, they have the fucking, the circus show, and it's so just wild, you know. They're singing, they got all the theme, they, like, all the freaks are out there, the bearded lady, the overweight lady, the what made me pop was the half man, half woman person. They call him Shim. He's a she and a him. Its name is Shim. That was pretty funny. So he's like, okay, so if y'all know that American Gothic painting, you know, with the farmer and the wife, and he's holding a pitchfork and all that. So he dresses, or Shim dresses like that. So his female side is the old lady, and the male side is the bald farmer with the pitchfork. Winnie and her four Italian lovers are doing a thing. Then you have Pee-wee and Gina come in, and then he surprises her with a tightrope act. Not just any tight. He does a little tequila move too, but it's him, the cat, the goat, the cow, the horse, you know. Like, obviously it's fucking fake. You can tell, you know, it was edited or whatever. But the wildest that is Pee-wee doing a tightrope, Pee-wee Herman on the tightrope with fucking farm animals. That's fucking crazy. That's wild. And then that's it. The end. They don't even talk about, I mean, obviously the show's over. The circus is going to go on. What's Pee-wee going to do? Pee-wee's going to go with him, or is he, you know, is Gina going to stay with him at the farm? They even talk about it a little bit. But I think Pee-wee said he was going to go with him. So I think that kind of like puts, you know, a period on that discussion. And that's it. That's Big Top Pee-wee. Like I said earlier, man, people were commenting that it had nothing to do, nothing incorporated from the Pee-wee's Playhouse was in this movie. It seems like it's set in the 1940s because, I mean, you got, you know, small town general store and, you know, weird, you know, four kids in the schoolhouse type of deal. But, I mean, there was really nothing said about, like, oh, this is 1980s or this is 1940s. It was just the setting, you know, for it. Just a lot of people upset because it had nothing to do with the first movie. It really didn't. It was just kind of basically dragged in the beginning because he's doing chores. The name of the circus was Cabrini. That was the name of the circus. There's some like 4 or 5 stars, 4.5 stars here. Like this one, it says either you get it or you don't. And he has like 4.5 stars. And I think what the point this person's trying to make is like, you either get what the character is and the wildness and the silliness that it has. It's not going to be like a specific, like, I think Big Adventure had more specific stuff in this to it, only because, I mean, he was chasing his, he was looking for his bike. And then again, you know, this is a different director, and Tim Burton, you know, directed the first one. And, but I guess other than the Alamo scene, there's really nothing that to specifically say, oh, it's set at this time period or something. But like this one, like, there's people saying they didn't even finish the film. It's awful. I never saw the whole thing. I skipped around the sequel without the cleverness or originality of the first, which is kind of understandable. But then again, the first one, he was, you know, he was going from, you know, he was going cross country, basically. And he was different areas, different places. Here, he's kind of like in one spot, his farm, this one town. And then, so yeah, I mean, all in all, I kind of wanted to do episode 104 on after hearing the passing of Paul Rubens, and really didn't really think about it. I think I was just searching like Pee Wee Herman's movie. That's what it was. I was looking for Big Adventure. I figured it was streaming on something. I was like, I haven't seen that forever. And I searched it, and then it said I had found that the one was on Netflix, which is the one came in like 2016 or something. And then the Big Adventure wasn't streaming on anything unless you rent it on like Amazon Prime or whatever, the Amazon store, video store. And then Big Top was actually playing on Paramount Plus. So like I have a Roku, and if you search on Roku, you know, it goes and it tells you, oh, hey, it's on this streaming site, or, oh, hey, you can buy it or rent it here or whatever. And so I had remembered, oh, yeah, they did make a movie, a circus movie or something with Pee Wee Herman. Like, oh, I'd never seen it. Like, fuck it. And so I started it, and then I started thinking, was like, well, is it, like, I know they got the first one. Obviously, the first one's going to have high reviews or a high Rotten Tomato score. What does this one have? And what does the one, you know, he made in 2016? And, surprisingly, the first and last one had pretty good scores. And it was just this one. Like I said, it had like a 38 and a 30% as a audience score. But, so, yeah, I mean, so, personally, yeah, it's goofy and it's got that same silliness that is Pee-wee. And then, you know, some of the kind of like, oh, he's kissing on his fiance and always kissing on this other girl, love triangle type stuff. And then the whole thing with him actually busting and, you know, getting some pussy. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, it's, if you get the whole, like, oh, silliness that is Pee Wee Herman, then, you know, you'll like this movie. I mean, you know, I guess some people at the time or just in general, they thought, you know what, this has nothing to do with Pee-wee's Playhouse. And that's mainly where I discovered Pee-wee Herman, was Pee-wee Herman's Playhouse, you know, watching on Saturday mornings. And then, you know, you get older and you realize, oh, well, he's, like, is that motherfucker's on Cheech and Chong? What the fuck is he doing with Cheech and Chong? And next thing you know, you got a movie with, you know, like, I still want to see The Big Adventure. It's been a while since I've seen that movie. And so hopefully it comes to streaming soon or something. But yeah, all in all, this film, I could say you could watch it with your kids. I mean, it's not crazy, like over like adult type stuff. You know what I mean? Just that whole love triangle type deal. But other than that, it wasn't bad. It was pretty silly and you know, and funny. Compared to the first one, yeah, the first one was probably the best. Haven't seen the Netflix one. I do remember that he came and did another movie or special or something. He did have like an HBO stand-up kind of deal. I think it was kind of a homage or kind of a throwback to the Pee-wee Herman show, which I have never seen any Pee-wee Herman show clips and stuff, and I'm kind of curious. I want to see what it's like, because I think that has some connection to the Playhouse kids show. But But yeah, man, I mean, hell, Lawrence Fishburne was Cowboy Curtis. I mean, who didn't love Pee-wee's Playhouse growing up? You know, that's my age. So that's going to be it, guys. So do me a favor and just stay a little bit longer for the outro to get some, you know, some news and updates from the Shut Up and Refill My Popcorn podcast empire. That is it, guys. That is the episode, and I want to thank you guys for checking it out. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for joining me this week as I pay tribute to the late, great Mr. Paul Rubin. Do me a solid. Go check out the Extra Butter feed. I dropped some episodes over there talking about his appearance on the Cheech and Chong movie, talking about his HBO, this Pee Wee Herman show in 1981 that came out on HBO. What else did I talk about? Oh, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, his iconic death scene in that movie. Three Extra Butter episodes on the Extra Butter feed. Go check out now. Go check them out if you haven't already. And what's on the horizon for the podcast? Well, at the time of this release, I have done a episode with the awesome CJ Emanuel, friend of the show, previous guest. And this episode, we talk about Revenge of the Nerds 2. We stay with that Revenge of the Nerds theme that we did a few months ago, or a couple months ago. So yeah, that's coming up next week, or not next week, the next episode to drop after this one. And some movies I have on the coming soon section at shutuppopcorn.com. But no, there's no specific order right there. I try to make an order, like at the top, like, okay, I already did this movie, it's coming up soon. But the further south you go, it's just random movies that I'm thinking about doing. Plans for October for any kind of monster marathon. I don't know, like I don't even know what I call it, where I would drop a weekly episode in October to cover some horror genre films. I might just stick with two. I might go back. I might not. It all depends. I have a couple movies in my mind I want to cover that are scary movies. But I might just stick with the two for that month. And then the typical March Madness podcasting deal where I do a weekly thing. My whole thing last year was trying to get to episode 100. We're on episode 104. And I did take some time off, so I don't know, haven't made up my mind yet. But if you have an idea for some horror movies or a horror genre or a redo, because I know some people, you know, probably don't agree with my previous choices, hit me up at Shut Up Popcorn on Twitter. Hit me a DM, send me a message on Instagram. Let me know, hey, why don't you do it on this one instead, or whatever. I'm always open to suggestions, and yeah, off the top of my head, I did do a redo for the Halloween series. I think I did that one with Mike, the Hitman. So yeah, I mean, it's nothing, it's not impossible. It's nothing I wouldn't shy away from. Do you know? Like, oh, okay, well, I see your point. Yeah, let's do that. So, with that being said, guys, again, I want to thank y'all for checking out this episode. I want to give a huge shout out, rest in peace, RIP, Mr. Paul Rubin. Thank you for the laughs. Thank you for the humblest. I've been seeing a lot of positive things of just what a great person he was, and a lot of people, you know, fans including, but like people that knew him are really gonna miss him, and it's one of those things, like, it sucks, but you know. Just mourn and give respects and props, and that's what I decided to do this week. You know, dropping some Extra Butterfeed episodes and doing this episode on Big Top Pee Wee. So please, again, if you like what you hear, go check me out on wherever you get your podcasts: Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio. No longer on Stitcher, so, but there's other different platforms I can't think off the top of my head that I'm on. But so yeah, do me a solid, go like and subscribe there, and let me know what you think. If you're new to the podcast or whatever, you know, appreciate y'all being here. Then check out the socials, check out the YouTube channel. And with that being said, I just want to remind you guys, if you ain't laughing, you ain't living. Take care of yourself and the people you love. Nanu, nanu. Peace.